Hello? I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 parlor. I wish I was like 6'9" so I could get with Leo. She cause she don't know.
Thanks for tuning in, people. Time for This Week in Mormons. You're here, we are here, everyone is here. It's time to hit the streets with the message of us.
We're hitting the streets with a message.
Join the TWIM army. Become part of our personality cult.
The TWIM-ermy.
The TWIM-army. Join us. We'll start a new Twitter account called TWIM-ermy.
Could we have such things as TWIM-er-masms?
That sounds...
Jimmer... Jimmer...
Is that like a Jimmergasm?
Yeah, that's what I was going for. I couldn't quite remember.
Well, you know, no one's mind is perfect, Al.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's right. I'm not 100%, but I'm guessing that's accurate.
Yeah, you know. So here we are, folks. Another week on This Week in Mormons. You can find us, of course, at thisweekinmormons.com. Please shoot us an email about this show. contact@thisweekinmormons.com. We love to hear from you. We love the content you send us. This show is possible.
We love everything about that. Yeah.
So.
No, I love it. You love it?
I do love it. I love hearing from our community, whether it's there on Facebook or on Twitter, wherever. We love to hear from you.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. All right. Well, that was a good show.
Yeah. So, Al, how are you doing there, huh, guy?
Oh, I'm good. I'm still a wee bit stressed. We got a lot on the plate right now, but working hard, making things better all the time.
Okay.
I have a very melancholy approach to life right now. Maybe I live, maybe I die. I feel like an episode in season 3 of News Radio where Joe Rogan invents an ambient sound box and poor Dave Foley just sits in his office and listens to the sounds.
I don't like this.
Hey, I love News Radio. I think that's one of the best shows of all our
generation. I know. You're a huge fan of that Andy.
I own all the seasons.
You love that Andy Dick fella. You love him.
Andy Richard, what a sweetheart.
And that Phil Hartman guy before his wife offed him.
Oh my gosh. Phil Hartman was a dream.
I do love Phil Hartman.
That guy was just brilliant.
Well, I'm glad that you have something to love. Yeah. Give Al News Radio and Andre Rieu and everything is perfect.
It really is, man. I'm a simple man with simple pleasures.
And that stupid game you had me play on the PS3 when I was there, what's that called? Immortal? The guy with the electricity?
Infamous.
Infamous, which you really tried to convince me was the greatest game in the world, and I just sat there.
No, I didn't say it was great. I enjoy FIFA, as you well know. You and I enjoyed Grand Theft Auto in a haze of
our weird little sinful period.
There's just something about running over people that makes
we
it
couldn't
nice.
Help it. We'd put the headphones on to not disturb other people and just listen.
It was a very vulgar game, but
lots of foul language and Slavic accents. But what's not to love?
Nico,
you killed Roman.
I like it.
Those were the days.
But Infamous, I just have because it's free, and so I played it a little bit.
I got it for free when
Sony got hacked. They gave everybody 2 free games to get them back on the system. And I was like, well, I'll trust you with my password again for 2 free games. Sure. Oh,
well, I guess that was nice of them then.
Yeah, lose all my data and give me a game.
Yeah, Nintendo would never do that. Nintendo will not lose your record of having downloaded Donkey Kong Country onto your Wii.
Thank you.
Or we
Thank
you.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's just who
so
they
Jeff,
are.
Jeff, fun fact, next week when we do this show.
Uh-huh.
Wait, can we take a week off because you'll be on your honeymoon?
I don't know. I'll be back in the D.C. area Tuesday night next week, so.
Let's please not phone in during your honeymoon for this show.
No, I will be back here.
I'm still amazed that we've never missed a week. Never missed a week.
We are remarkable people.
You are more remarkable than me. We'd miss like every other week if it was up to me.
We are dedicated, serious. Well, Al, I'm trying to build a business here, and I feel that by constantly refreshing our content, even if the quality slides a bit, we're better off, you know?
And sometimes the quality slides a bit, but here we are.
Like this week's show, we make no guarantees.
No, nothing. Nothing. Nothing will happen.
So, yeah, we you and I have a big weekend this weekend, my friend.
I'll see you at your wedding.
We have a very big weekend together. I believe a bride is involved somehow, but I'm mostly excited.
Yeah, she's coming with us on the honeymoon. So
yeah,
that'll be
mostly excited to spend this time with you. So,
oh, it's gonna be awesome. You and me just out on the beach hanging out. It'll be great.
We'll go to the cove, look at seals and sea lions.
Oh, those seals!
And ponder, ponder our relationship.
So I had my first week as an Elders Quorum president.
And how was that?
It was good. I left. I was gone. My poor counselors, man. They're like we line out all this stuff. And I'm like, all right, now pay close attention because you're executing on all of this. I'll be gone and send you good luck texts. It's like, well, all right. Bless their hearts, man. They're great. Those guys.
So are you facing many challenges in your quorum without being...
Well, we have like 100 elders in there.
Yeah, that's a challenge.
It's great. We got good dudes and we'll do cool stuff. I think honestly the best thing that we can do is just be better at like being friends. And so go do things outside of the quorum and get our guys getting to know each other a little bit so that we have more camaraderie in there. Once we have that, I feel like we can go out and have good camaraderie with the sisters. Now, here's something I'm curious about, Jeff, and you may have some insight into this. I've heard varied reports of like the emphasis of home teaching, right?
Okay.
Where there somebody told me that in their ward they would just stack rank all their people and say, this person is a high likelihood of coming back to church, so for sure they get home teachers, and this person's a two, and so they need home teachers. But the fours, all the super active guys, we're not going to home teach them. But the threes, yeah, maybe we'll do some of them. And so they would like divvy up their people in by sort of stack ranking them and figuring out who needed or who was going to get the most value out of home teaching. Now, I went to my bishop and I said, Bishop, we can have 100% home teaching next month if you let me not home teach the men. I hate home teaching other dudes.
So you think that the home teaching program only applies to your chance to flirt with women?
Jeff, absolutely. I feel like when two other single guys come and talk to me about Jesus and like the same lesson that I've been teaching all month and they want to come and teach me that lesson, I'm just like, I hate so much about the things you like to do.
That's why you got to change it up, man. Change it up.
Well, no.
Stir the pot. Teach something apocryphal.
I just want... In Maccabees 2, verse 3, he might be talking about Zenith. But, I just wonder if the home teaching program of the church is going to adjust it all to, you know, like, if there's room for that, or if that's actual doctrine, or if people are just resting the scriptures to their own destruction. I don't know.
What is the actual question you're wondering, though? I think you're kind of dancing around what you're actually trying
to figure out. No, the question I'm asking is what is the, like, is there any kind of nuances around the home teaching program in the church, or is it just like everybody gets home taught?
Well, everyone is supposed to be home taught, yeah. I mean, that's the point. There might be the rare exception that if like Mitt Romney had won the presidency, they wouldn't assign him
Has home teachers, Jeff. The prophet has home teachers.
Everyone,
the president would have home teachers.
Everyone is supposed to be home taught. That's the point, because the point of the program and
poor Elder Wilson would be like, President Romney he's never home. Give me people that want to be home taught and I'll get 100%.
Exactly. Well, Al, here's something you should consider, though. I mean, the point of home teaching is that it distributes the workload so that the brethren of your quorum can be checking up on the welfare of the men
I understand that, Jeff.
And then report back to you. If you develop a well-functioning hierarchy to do this, you will see results.
Yeah, we need more management. Great idea, Jeff.
Well, you need more legitimate management. Come on. I mean, how many wards have you been in where it's very confusing? I've been in wards where I didn't even know who I was supposed to report my home teaching to every month. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might have home teaching district supervisors, but sometimes they don't even do anything. It actually is very good if you have people in positions for home teaching management who get the job done and do it and follow up and ask questions.
That's true. That is true.
And don't just ask about numbers. You want to actually know what's going on a personal level with the people.
Preaching to the choir, man. I don't care about numbers. I just want to know if there's issues that the bishop needs to know. I'm his eyes and ears. Listen, Jeff, I know how this stuff is supposed to go down. I'm just saying,
I know everything.
Let me not teach the men.
I have keys.
Give me a bye so I don't have to go and awkwardly sit down with the two guys I just played basketball with and say, how's your Jesus?
Why would you not want to do that? Because we all need to be home taught. Regardless
no, we don't.
Of our, yeah, of course
we
do.
Don't. You don't need to be. I don't need to be home taught.
I like to be home taught.
When I have a family and kids and we got to have that time each month, then I need to be home taught. As a single male dude that goes to church every Sunday, I don't need to be home taught.
Because you don't need to have anyone looking out for you. Come on.
Because you have mastered discipleship. I'm gonna go and talk to somebody that can help me anyway. I don't want to tell my home teacher and be like, "Hey, would you go talk to the Elders Quorum president, who's also our exact same age and in our exact same situation, and see if my needs can be met by somebody else?" I'm gonna say, "Hey, do you know anybody with a truck? I'm trying to get some sand."
Did you ever stop to think though that? On the other end, that perhaps the home teacher benefits from being able to home teach someone who is active.
Yeah, I thought about that until I realized that I've been a home teacher to these guys, and I benefit nothing. I loathe the fact
that
this
is all okay, but you're active. What about somebody who's struggling a bit more? They might be more inclined to home teach. It can go both ways.
Give them women. Go teach women who might need something picked up or put down or a fridge. Light checked or something.
So you think all home teaching is to try to take care of tangible, temporal tasks for sisters. That's the overall purpose of home teaching.
Also, they represent the priesthood in a single sister's home. In a singles ward, home teachers are vital to sisters. But to men, no.
What if I need help with my cabinets and my light bulbs and my things?
Call your Elders Quorum president. He'll find somebody to help you.
Or I could just call my home teachers. That's the point. Now, I do agree with you that there is probably greater good to be done administering to the sisters than to the brethren. But
significantly more good.
But I also think that oftentimes we sell ourselves short within the priesthood, and we need more help than we let on. And we do need each other.
Do we?
Yeah, of course.
And why don't we just have camaraderie in the quorum instead of home teachers? It just feels terrible.
What I wish visiting teaching would branch out across both genders. Why do the women?
Could you imagine some sisters calling you up saying, "Hey, we want to come share a lesson"?
Well, how loved would you feel? I guess it has far less appeal when you're not in the singles ward.
They'd bring you some cookies.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even a so what? My soon-to-be wife makes delicious cookies, but why shouldn't I get to enjoy other women in the ward bringing us cookies and teaching?
Is this a euphemism for sex, Jeff?
No, Al, and I'm amazed that you made it 13 minutes into the show without referencing sex.
My wife makes great cookies.
Be jealous.
Other women make good cookies, too. Why should I be stuck with just the chocolate chip?
You're just envious, my friend.
When other people have oatmeal raisin, and maybe I want to try it. Is that wrong?
No, as long as both parties are consenting. Oatmeal raisin.
What are we, Malad, Idaho? This is not okay.
Anywho.
Good times with home teaching.
I'm pretty sure that you are thinking about me being intimate more than I am thinking about being intimate.
Oh my gosh. Every waking moment is consumed by thoughts of you and her.
Yeah, that's
him
terrible.
And you getting rude with the food.
Yes, that's the one.
Him hanging around you. That's the kind of thing that I think you might be into.
Yeah. So, well, Al, I wish you well in your quest to seek inspiration regarding what to do with your quorum.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. We'll be fine.
I trust you will. And I've never been in an Elders Quorum presidency or anything, so...
Neither have I. No, I legitimately have no idea what I'm doing, and so...
Well, you have to... You clearly... This can be a great time for you to learn to rely on the Spirit.
or a great time to try and buck all the trends that I've hated for so long. We'll be the counterculture Elders Quorum.
Uh-huh.
We'll wear hipster jeans.
Okay, yes.
And Sperry shoes.
I don't think those two go together, but good.
I don't know what they are. I just read about them on the internet.
Sperry shoes are for preppies. They are worn in abundance out here on the East Coast during the summertime.
Oh, I got my Harvard Sailing Club mixed up with hipsters, apparently.
Yeah, they're not the same thing. I mean, you gotta...
How? How are those not the same thing?
Well, hipsters and East Coast preppies are not the same thing.
Jeff, you're both of them.
That's because I am nothing. I just choose what I want to be on any given day.
Is that true?
Some days I might be a hipster. I might be a skater
Some
tomorrow.
Some days I might. No, you won't.
Tomorrow, I'm just going to listen to nothing but MXPX and Sublime and bring my skateboard everywhere.
I don't think that's skater genre. I don't think Sublime has
I'm
been
gonna
in
listen
the skater
to ev- genre. To every Offspring album in order.
Look at me, guys. I'm a skater.
I still
what
have
do you
my...
listen to? The Cranberries? Give me some of that. Do you have to let it linger?
I still have all of my Bad Religion albums. It's going to be great. Oh.
Oh, well, I'm excited. So, we've got some Mormon news for you. We got a few things.
Well, we've been talking about issues. Issues are
we
good.
We dibble. Too. We dabble. We're going to spend most of the show on gun control.
Yeah, absolutely. So, this is what I think. That we should actually have a mandate, just like healthcare, that everyone have guns.
Yeah. No, yeah. And then if you don't have a gun, you're penalized.
You are penalized.
By...
for it. Yeah.
But only as the employers, not you as individuals.
And the Supreme Court will rule that it is not a mandate, but a tax. You have to pay the gun tax. Because everyone has a right to a gun, even the poor and downtrodden. How else are
we can discuss our differing views on education, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I mean, how else are people supposed to protect themselves from having the British militia quartered in their houses?
Or...
I mean, really?
The government coming after us.
Well, I think that's what's going to happen. The Second
it is
Amendment
all part of Agenda 21.
Goes away. Once it goes away, once Obama has his way, all of the sudden, the National Guard is going to be occupying our cities. Red Dawn is...
I need more Glenn Beck. Where is he? How do we not have quotes from him this week?
Because he's living the weird life in Texas, just doing this thing on the Verve, the what's it called? What's his thing called?
The Buzz, the Bees.
No,
the
it's
biz.
Not that. Sure, he's on the Biz.
So anyway, the big one this week, Ann Romney turns down a chance to go Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, this is terrible.
So,
what does
this
mean?
She was invited to be on Dancing with the Stars. Now, I empathize with her as one who's been invited on a number of reality TV shows.
Why didn't you go for it? You should have done it.
Because it would have been a disaster. I would have regretted it my whole life, but it would have been amazing.
You already embarrassed the church. Just do it on a national level, please.
Oh, my gosh. The homeschooled Mormon quilt shop owner virgin would have been the hit of all reality TV.
I know, and I would have TiVo'd every episode.
And so, Mitt Romney's wife, Ann Romney, turns it down. And she was approached but declined. And I appreciate that. I just, like, what could you possibly have gained out of it?
Well, we can't have her pulling Marie Osmond and taking her garments off just for the competition. I hold the Romneys to a higher standard.
I remember when I was in my diving competition in college.
Nope, that's not an excuse.
I took my garments off to dive.
You were in diving?
No, Jeff. I'm a 6'7", 250-pound giant. There was no diving that happened.
Sorry.
No Missouri woodsmen are built for diving.
Do they even have diving board? Do you even have a pool at BYU Hawaii?
A pool? Yeah, we do. We do. Old women swim laps in it.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
But then we also have...
the ocean?
We have scuba diving. Very nice. And skin diving.
Oh,
very
good.
Very nice.
Okay, well, moving on. Next week, of course, is the inauguration of the second term for President Barack Obama, the man who's going to bring you freedom and prosperity. Now, as is custom, the church sends a delegation of sorts to represent the church at the inauguration.
Is that a custom? Is that what we do?
I don't know if we've always done it, but I think we did it. We've been doing it during the Monson era. So
he loves America.
So last year, I don't remember who it was for. Last 4 years ago, President Uchtdorf and M. Russell Ballard went to represent the church 4 years ago. This year, we get none other
Echo
than
Echo Hawk.
We get the L Train.
Echo Hawk, give me Echo Hawk.
And Quentin L. Cook.
Quentin's Quandaries is going to be rich this week.
He's going to, I believe that he will be posting some deep content.
LOL, I'm backstage with the Prez.
Can we just start a Tumblr page called Quentin's Quandaries and just make up fake posts from Mildred?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we might get, you know, disciplined from the church, but I think we could at least get in a couple months worth of material before we get shut down.
I've been disciplined so many times.
And while we're at it, we can post content from the Zarahemla Times just for fun.
As long as you do what they say, you're fine.
Anyway,
take that down. It's offensive. Okay.
Anyway. Yeah, by the way, sorry, this is a side note. Did you hear about what went down with the whole CNET, CBS, Dish, or Dish Network thing?
No.
Well, if you want to talk about journalistic freedom. Now, CNET, of course, is a consumer electronics review site, and but it's owned by CBS Interactive. That's their corporate parent. Now, we just had CES in Las Vegas last week, the gadget show, and CNET likes to rank products as, you know, their best in show sorts of things. And the one that wasn't just in the running but was going to win was a new DVR box from Dish that completely skips commercials. No more fast-forwarding or anything, just straight-up skipping them. The overlords at CBS Interactive actually called up CNET and made them pull all the coverage of that box out of it because CBS has been in litigation with Dish Network for some time over stuff like this. And so the overlord shut down the review. So much for impartial, unencumbered reviews.
So then what happened?
As of right now, that's it. They pulled it all down, and it's not even in the running.
Are people going crazy?
Many people in the tech reporting and consumer electronics sphere are deeply upset and wondering if the writers from CNET will quit in protest, because journalistic integrity is a very serious thing. You should know that from listening to This Week in Mormons. We're very, very serious.
Here we are.
So that was a bit of an aside, but I could see the same thing happening with Salt Lake shutting us down.
You can see that happening.
Well, we are a heavy hitter. I mean, we get about, 12,000 downloads a week, so they're going to care.
They will find us and kill our babies.
This Week in Mormons, your number one Mormon podcast.
The best around.
If I were Bill O'Reilly, we could spend the next 5 minutes explaining why our rankings are the best.
So we got a great one for you. There's a video floating around. Really, the video is floating around nowhere. It's a meaningless video that we are obligated to share with you.
Not just obligated. I would say I am entreated to share this with everyone.
How many views does this have already?
7,000.
Almost. So there are 7,000. Well, there's about 600 people that were all part of this that have watched this 17 times each. So they did like a mock production / supposed to be flash mob thing on Temple Square in front of the temple. And I think there was probably 20 people there, and they just kept moving them around and changing shirts. It was not packed. It wasn't like a flash mob, and it wasn't impromptu where people start dancing and it's great and you're excited. It was mediocre. Not entertaining. how did you feel about it, Jeff?
How did I feel the second it started? I just started moaning to myself.
No, you were singing along. Sounded like moaning.
Well, it starts on a beautiful synthesized, and then it hits the suspended four of that chord, and then goes back down.
Whoa.
So it's this comes from the Twitter account of I Know Who I Am LDS. The point of this was to get the youth, in this case, the youth of the South Jordan River stake. They celebrated the completion of reading the Book of Mormon. And so they call this a flash mob, and I agree with you. I think it's somewhere between, like, I don't know though what defines a flash mob. It was a bunch of kids all doing their own thing, and all of a sudden they all started dancing.
They did a little dance thing.
But I guess it can't be a flat. I guess it can't be a flash mob when they clearly had like cameras on the scene roving around. That kind of gives it away. You know, a flash mob, you have fixed cameras usually to get so no one picks up on what, you know, that anything is happening.
And then they just disappear. They're gone.
Well, we couldn't stand to watch it through the end, so maybe they also left. I have no way of knowing.
We made it about, a minute.
I believe my words were at minute 3, this is the longest 3 minutes of my life. I honestly could not believe it had only been 3 minutes. I've heard pop songs on the radio that are 4 minutes that feel like they're over and done with before I knew it. But this...
They feel like 2 minutes, but the 1 minute goes up to 3 minutes, and then you're at 4 minutes, then what? I don't know.
So you've got all these kids lip-syncing and dancing right in front of the big circular fountain that used to be part of Main Street. It used to be part of Main Street. And, and the whole plaza right there, dancing up, and then they got some great footage of elderly
dancing
missionary...
in the street.
Elderly missionary couples who are just golly gee willikers. Those kids doing the dancing... I want call YouTube. They'll need to film this, and
call the internets.
So it was fine, but you might find it if you have children, perhaps, or youth. You know, they might genuinely perhaps get something out of it. But I watched it and I thought it was just like one of the most awful things I've seen in a very long time.
And it was.
It I'm really, a cynic, really I guess. But the dancing, but the cartwheels were wonderful.
The double women cartwheels.
Yeah,
at the
like
end?
The like the pinwheeling cartwheels. Two people hooked together, going. Whoo-whoo-whoo. It was pretty strong. Let's not pretend it's not.
It was like a windmill. It was like a human windmill.
I felt
like John Lovitz from season 5 of News Radio.
Sure.
Great, great.
Please,
season.
Please keep up with those references, Al. Just let it. Just keep going.
There is somebody out there who loved News Radio as much as I are, and they are just like. They are going to love me by the end
of
the
day. I'm sure they will.
They'll say, he's the only one that gets me.
All right, let's talk about something serious. Okay. Sort of serious. Okay, there's a thing going around. We have referenced this before or talked about the quote-unquote issue that it is. We'll let you be. You can decide what you think of it. But there's a movement now, both on Facebook and online, to let women...
We'll call it, let's call it tip of the hat, wagging the finger.
Okay, let women pray in general conference.
Are that's we wagging our finger or tipping our hat, Jeff?
I believe I'm, unlike the wear pants to church day, which was a wag of the finger, I tip my hat to this cause.
Have you seen how it plays out? Maybe during general conference, all women will be praying silently in their heart, and you'll say something like, it was the wrong venue for a protest.
I do believe that that was the wrong venue for a protest for pants. But this is different. I mean, obviously, if you were disrupting general conference for it, that could also be a problem. But I think it's a fair thing to draw attention to. We have to ask ourselves, why can't women pray in general conference? As far as I know, there's nothing on the books that says women are somehow not allowed to or why they wouldn't be. And unless there's some sort of priesthood authority necessary, because it's typically a general authority who prays, not even a general officer, right? And, well, maybe a general officer does it sometimes. But why don't they pray? I mean, really, why not? I am totally fine with that.
Why?
It's almost weird that they don't. And this website, letwomenpray.blogspot.com, has a post that offers a short timeline of women sort of in praying in the church. Now, as far back as 1967, there was a priesthood bulletin, it was called, a churchwide newsletter for leadership sent out that did prohibit women from praying in sacrament meeting. And that lasted, and that was even before that time, that lasted until 1978 when the great reformer, President Kimball, flipped all that around and said anybody can pray and do whatever they want and all that jazz. It wasn't until 1981 or so when the first when a woman spoke in general conference again for the first time since the old pioneer days. And now they speak. I mean, every conference we have a female speaker or two.
Now, I'm fine with this, right? I am all for women praying in priesthood sacrament meeting, I mean, and all that jazz, and they're fine with it. And I'm sure there's no rule against women praying in general conference.
So then I wonder why they don't.
Now, the only problem I have with this is not how, like you put them in such a hard bind here, them being the people, like the brethren of the church, because the church isn't like, you can't just stand up and demand that they change. And then they're like, all right, well, you got 2,000 signatures. So I guess everything's going to go this way now.
Ooh, we should do it like the White House, where if we get enough signatures, it merits
an official apostle.
We want an official response from the first presidency. They should do that.
About constructing a Death Star with tithing money.
Wasn't that funny?
Like it sets a bad precedent, and it's almost like, I mean, do something, write a letter and say, hey, this should happen. That's great, but like a formal movement where we have our change.org petition, which they do, and then all of a sudden, if they say yes, no, they should do that, then they're like susceptible to anybody that wants anything different. All you got to do is raise enough of a ruckus. And they're obligated to listen to you, which they're not, and they don't.
Well,
I just feel like you'd get better response by like working up through the proper channels than I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I don't think you're wrong in that way at all. And actually, the change.org stuff is kind of funny because they are more than anything encouraging people to write specific general authorities about the issue. But I agree with you. That's not the way change comes about. This is revelation. You know, obviously, we're led by the Spirit in all of these things. However, I think some of the things that have changed in the church over the years have come because of attention being drawn to it. I mean,
but it's a respectful, reverent attention. You know, it's not like, hey, everybody, look at me and the fact that I'm going to go and light myself on fire and that's going to get us something done, right? It's a, you know, just like a respectful movement, which is, you know, like the, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. This feels weird to me.
Yeah, no, and I'm with you on all that. But I think of things like all men receiving the priesthood. I mean, this was something, of course, the brethren struggled with.
But Black stand up and say, we demand that you give us the priesthood?
It got to the point when many of the founders...
I don't know. It is an honest question, by the
way. No, many of the founders, specifically of the Genesis group, which was actually set up by the Brethren in Salt Lake to help investigate the issues surrounding basically non-white males and the priesthood, I wouldn't say they weren't staging protests or anything like that. I mean, these were active men. But just in the same way that there might be women who feel disenfranchised, you could imagine being African-American and feeling disenfranchised in the church for not having the priesthood. And yeah, I mean, they wrote letters. They met with church leaders. They talked about these things.
Which I encourage all of those.
Yeah, things. And I think that's the best way to go. So I think it's fair to draw attention to an issue because oftentimes I think we see throughout the scriptures, throughout the modern era of the church, half the time, the only reason things really change or a policy changes is because someone bothers to draw attention to it. Hopefully,
really,
through
though? Really,
I think a revelation is based on asking, you shall receive. I mean, plenty of things the brethren have done in the past have simply been.
And I agree with that, right? Like, I totally agree with the Lord's not going to answer a question that's not asked, and so if we're not asking the questions, then we're not going to get those answers.
Yeah, I mean, if the brethren aren't feeling. Realizing there's some sort of this going on, some sort of a movement, a swell, an undercurrent of wondering why women don't pray. It's not because they're ignorant or aloof to anything, but they might just not be thinking about the issue and thinking to take it to the Lord.
But you don't think that this disenfranchises them from, like, I mean, I feel like I'd be negotiating with terrorists as soon as, not that they're terrorists, but you know, that mentality of like,
no, they
demanded it, I'm not giving them anything. Because as soon as you give me an ultimatum, then my options are either do exactly as you say or go completely against you, right?
Yeah, well, I get what you mean by that. We can't expect to receive revelation on an issue when we're holding the prophet's feet to the fire.
Right.
I mean, yeah, and I'm 100% with you.
I mean, let change happen. Give it room.
That's true.
Let good things come.
I think we're increasingly impatient in the information era. You know, this isn't 40 years ago when we had to organize groups and write letters. It is done differently now. There was no change.org back in the days when they were weighing whether to extend the priesthood to all worthy males. You know, so we do have different mediums, but I completely agree with you, Al, that it should be respectful and done in the proper way, because otherwise it is kind of like we're being held hostage to an idea.
Well, and all that being said, I think you and I are on the exact same page here, Jeff. I think this is a great idea. Why aren't women praying in general conference? Like, they should.
Yeah.
There's nothing doctrinally to keep them from doing it. And, I mean, it should have been something that was thought of and extended a long time ago.
I completely agree. And so I hope it goes, that this is done in a proper way, unlike, say, in my own opinion, the wear pants to church day thing, which I think was a fair thing to mention, to highlight.
I hope that the interests of this succeed, but that this as a protest fails. That's my hope.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though. I haven't seen there hasn't been like a protest organized, though. All that I've seen is to say, like, write various general authorities.
Well, but the mere fact that we're staring at a change.org petition to try and get women to be able to pray in general conference is what I'm referencing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not huge on the change.org petition.
Well, but that's the approach that they're taking.
Well, and I felt that that's more of a sideshow thing, and the real approach has been to write specific general authorities and general officers of the church. That, from what I've read, that seems to have been more where the weight is being thrown.
Yeah.
Interesting issue and a fair thing to discuss, and I think it'd be great if that is changed. For all I know, there's some underlying reason why, if like the priesthood has to open and close a general meeting of the church because of, you know, presiding issues or who knows what. I don't know.
Well, and when I was raised, I was given the impression that sacrament meeting, it could anybody, so a woman could pray to open the meeting, but a Melchizedek priesthood holder had to pray to close the meeting. And then as a missionary, when I actually got to read the handbooks and stuff, that's actually false. Nowhere does it say that. And I don't think anybody cares. It's just like a cultural thing, which is the exact same scenario we're in here. I mean, it's just a cultural, men do the praying at general conference, blah, right. blah, blah.
Yeah. I mean, I think this falls in the same area as other callings that I don't see why men have to do them, like Sunday school president or the ward executive secretary, stuff like that. Like, there's some calling, sure, you know, that require keys or this or that, but I don't understand why a woman can't serve in some of those other capacities when they've always been men-only callings, which makes no sense to me, personally.
Mm-hmm. So did you go to the Uchtdorf CES broadcast last night?
I have not seen it. Did you see it?
I saw snippets.
I
watch it the way I watch anything. I just scrubbed through it.
I saw.
He wants us to find truth, Jeff.
I saw a great tweet that said, "And Uchtdorf mentions aviation. Take a sip of Sprite, like it's a drinking game."
I also liked that he was confirmed. His Patronus is indeed the Silver Fox.
He said so. I imagine, right?
I believe he referenced it. Expecto Patronum.
That's exactly what he did. He stepped down and said it, and it was one. And he saved Sirius. It was great.
Oh, man. He did everything Harry couldn't.
But I imagine it was good. I guess I can still watch CES Firesides.
Now that you're engaged to be married? Well, you will be married?
They are officially for just young adults, not young single adults. Young adult. Then again, I am out of the young adult bracket at this point. So,
Jeff, you're over 30 years old.
I know, but my
dear, we're not in our 20s anymore, and I.
But my dear wife-to-be still falls underneath that jurisdiction, so, you know, perhaps.
Well, your age together divided by 2 still makes you under 20.
Dang it. All right, fair enough. So you want to hear a funny story real quick in our waning moments?
Yeah, let's have it.
I mean, it's not much, it's pretty brief. Basically, a guy was teaching gospel doctrine on Sunday. Interesting guy. He talked about how Christ might have been hesitant to going through the atonement, describing it as, "Oh, I've got to deal with a crap load of junk from these people." Yes. That's how the lesson was explained to us. Yes. Anyway, but something funny came up.
A poop load of junk.
Yeah. So but something he said just cracked me up near the end of the lesson when he just said, like, you know, how Christ, of course, suffered all things for us, everything. And he was like, you know, I mean, Christ probably experienced menstrual cramps, right? And right then I was just like, oh, this is a beautiful moment for gospel doctrine. I am so happy I'm here right now. Who has ever been to a lesson when your teacher has alleged that Christ experienced menstrual cramps?
Nope.
I mean, it stands to reason, because he knows all pain and all experience that we've had, that something analogous to that has transpired. But I was just like, this is brilliant.
I feel like you should...
I love this man. I love this lesson. I love what's happened here today.
I would have responded very differently to a situation like that.
And what would you have done?
Boo!
Just
get out of here, you hack.
Rubbish, filth, boo! Slime, muck.
Bow down to the queen of filth.
Yeah, you had love and you threw it away for nothing. Boo!
No, I didn't.
I just wanted to share that brilliant tale. It was so funny.
Okay, yeah. There's a there's a gay Mormon dating site out there.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, if you enjoy, you know, men on men NICMO, and you love reading the Book of Helaman,
then what?
This might be for you.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know how many gay listeners we have, but here you are. Make it happen, folks.
Yeah, it's not a bad, like, the idea of connecting people and like-minded folk within our faith. I think it's fine. I think it's probably a good thing. I think it's a good thing.
I could see a majority of the people being the LGBTQ community who have left the church, because the cultural ties to the...
What does that mean?
Queer.
Oh.
Because
they got all the names in there.
They
huh?
really did. Because cultural ties to the church never really go away. It's such a strong undercurrent and connecting thread that we all have. And so I could definitely see that being a thing.
Oh, good.
So go there. Did we find out what the website is called?
Origins.
That's a weird website name.
Origins.
That's strange marketing. Strange, very strange. Other quick news. The makers, of course, of the Book of Mormon musical, the Trey Parker and Matt Stone, are now developing it into a feature film, allegedly. So if you haven't...
What's sad is, with all the story of the Book of Mormon, the only people to be able to make a viable play at a Book of Mormon movie are the former creators of South Park.
Honestly, with how terrible the old Book of Mormon movie Part 1, The Journey, was, I feel like the secular world deserves to lampoon it all they want for however long, at least for a period of a couple of years, because that movie was just atrociously bad. I just so bad.
Oh, it was terrible.
In
yeah,
so many
true.
Ways, just mind-numbingly awful.
Oh, it was bad.
Like, I feel the need to watch it again when I want to have a party for, like, a bad movie night.
No, don't do it, Jeff.
Everyone, come over and watch this terrible movie when we get to see the Lamanites dancing around a fire and acting like pagans. It's very exciting.
We have to go back for women? Well, I will go and do what the Lord has commanded.
It was awful. Al, we have one more thing to mention. I feel like you can do it, because you know.
Is it Zarahemla Times, Jeff?
No. There's going to be a new mission president who is a certain someone.
Oh, Peter Cook.
Yeah.
The ex. How do you even say that?
The ex gubernatorial candidate from the Democratic Party for the state of Utah.
Off he goes. He's still worthy. That's what we're trying to say.
So, it's kind of cool, though. So, the guy ran for governor, obviously did not get elected because, you know, it's Utah. And but now he's going to be a mission president. We know not where, because I would love that background, why the church calls people as mission presidents but doesn't give them their assignment until much further down the road.
And it's like, we need 10 people that are not terrible. You 10 will do great. We'll figure out what you do later.
So good for Peter Cook. We look forward to seeing where you serve, sir.
If you had to guess a mission for old Peter
Cook. I am pulling for the Russia Novosibirsk mission.
I wonder if that has the same meaning in mission terms as it does in military terms. We're sending you to Novosibirsk. Does this feel like a win for kind of the kooky leftists out there everywhere?
This is a huge win for Democrats within the church. I mean, this is big, people. Oh,
yeah.
Life-changing.
Monster win. Good work, everybody.
Okay, let's be done with this show now.
This is like John Huntsman getting elected as a Republican presidential candidate. I mean, it was as impactful.
Wherever John Huntsman goes, I will follow.
I know you will. You love that man.
If that man changes parties and starts some new third party.
The man without morals or convictions and very odd advertising.
Wasn't the man without convictions Mitt Romney? I believe that was.
No, he had convictions. He was just too embarrassed to talk about them.
Oh, okay, that's actually
John Huntsman had no convictions, but he loved talking about him. He just didn't know what to say.
But Al, there's a trust deficit in America. A trust deficit.
And he's making a withdrawal.
Folks, find us at facebook.com/thisweekinmormons and at TheRealTwim on Twitter. Find us there.
We'll be there. And also send us emails. Contact at thisweekinmormons, please. We want to talk to you. We love you.
Keep your eyes out, of course. Oh, and keep your eyes out for Sunday School Bonanza as we talk about Doctrine and Covenants and church history, which you can find on the same feed as last year in case you stopped refreshing your feed at the end of the year. It's all just pushed together as one.
Saturday, if you listen closely, you will hear Jeff from across the way making the similar tone as the opening note to that EFY video we all watched. It'll happen. Anyway, until next week with a merry Jeff.
Oh, boy.
We'll see you then.
Oh, boy. All right, you're done. You're done. This has been This Week in Mormons for the middle of January. Thanks, everybody, and we hope that you have a holy and wonderful week and that you realize that intimacy is a serious topic not to be made light of. Goodbye.